Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Rotary Matters on Arrow FM 92.7 and on Wairarapa TV. I'm Marilyn Bouzaid, and over the next about an hour, we'll be able to hear about many of the activities that are in our Rotary Club, my Rotary Club of Marston South, but one in particular that is a new project, and our members have been involved with, say, over the last 6 months possibly, with this particular project. So it's a really exciting one, and I'm sure you'll be interested in hearing all about it. In the studio today, I have here Alison Sita. Alison, who is a Rotarian and our current club manager. So welcome, Alison.
Thank you. Hello.
And I also have Samina Dadamia, which is a lovely name, Samina Dadamia. But you are known by Sammy, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so welcome to the studio. Welcome to something to do with Rotary. And you've been in New Zealand, I believe, since about 2018 and are now living in Masterton. So we'll hear quite a bit about your background and all that you do, so that'd be lovely. So, first of all, Alison, perhaps we just sort of start with you and fill in a little bit of your background as before you came to Rotary. I think you had something to do with education in the Wairarapa, is that right?
Well, yes, I've kind of been in education my entire life, really, or my working life, with a couple of little breaks. But I trained in Wellington, and after the 3 years, you know, the bonding was in there. I went to the UK for 9 years. So I didn't teach in the UK because I think the only jobs available were the ones that the English wouldn't take. So I had a little stint at marketing and selling, which has served me well, really. I returned home, married with a son and one on the way. And I got back into education and had a 5-year stint at Kahutara School as the school principal there. And then I did some marketing work with Oldfields. But while I was doing that, I was always still in education at nights working for the School Trustees Association and training boards of trustees, etc. And I ended up in my role as a statutory manager for a school over in Kapiti, which I absolutely loved. So I've kind of gone through the whole works. And,
yeah, that would have been really interesting.
I mean, it was fabulous. Loved
from
it.
From a teacher's point of view, you know, it's really interesting to hear the other side of what's going on in the background.
Yes, yeah. No, it was just a... I'm totally retired now, but it was just a lovely way to end it. It was such a rewarding role to play. So that's
where you were at.
That's where I ended.
Yeah. So were you mostly just in England when you were in away all those 9 years?
I did a lot of travelling. You know what you do when you're young. You sort of work as temps or anything you can get for about 6 months, save all your money, and then off you go to Europe, and then, come back, work another 6 months.
Oh, great. Yeah. So what was your favourite place?
Oh, I think the south of France and Greece, the Greek islands are.
Yeah. So anywhere in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How lovely. So now you joined Rotary not that long ago, is it?
I've been in Rotary 6 years, believe it or not.
Was it? Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
Six years. When my husband died, I sort of did a little bit of travelling and setting myself down for about a year, and then decided that it would be quite good to be involved in a club, meet new people, meet like-minded people. Always wanted to help in the community, but it's a very difficult thing to do as a solo, you know.
That's right, it's
very hard. So that was where I kind of came to Rotary, and Yeah, been there ever since.
Been there ever since, and now you're the...
and helped in the community and done the bits.
And, yeah. And now you're the club manager.
I am,
which is
yes.
running yeah, a very good club.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, well, thank you. And now, Sammy, welcome, and tell me all about yourself.
Thank you so much for having me here today. So I'm from Sri Lanka. We moved to Greytown in 2018 with my husband Jeffrey and my son Hamdan. So after that, after a couple of years, we moved to Masterton right after COVID. And my husband is a chef, so he worked in several restaurants and some of the residential aged care facilities in Masterton as well. Now we own a restaurant in Carterton. It's called the Olive Branch. So we both are working there, and we love Masterton, whole Wairarapa. It's a beautiful community, and our son is going to school in Masterton Primary. He's schooling there. So, yeah,
it's lovely. And I've just been watching, as I think I told you earlier, that been watching a program about hotel in Sri Lanka, how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
And what made you come out to New Zealand? Did you have people out here that you came out to?
Actually, we were we both studied out of Sri Lanka. My husband was in US, then UK. He was studying there. He was working there. Then I studied in China. Then once we got married, we thought, okay, let's move, you know, to another country and raise our son there, somewhere peaceful. So then New Zealand came up. Came up, and we chose New Zealand as our new home.
So, oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So what did you study in China?
Actually, I studied medicine.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I couldn't finish it because of our family circumstances. So I studied 3.5 years of MBBS.
And have you worked in anything in the medical world at all since you've been in New Zealand?
Not yet, but I worked as a caregiver. But currently, I'm looking for a job in any kind of, you know, science field, a laboratory or X-ray imaging or something like that. Mm. Yeah. I'm looking forward to work in my field now.
Oh, it'd be nice to. Yes, excellent. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of jobs that are available, particularly in the medical section.
So,
Alison, you've been involved in the shall we call it the refugee program that is currently in Masterton and in the Wairarapa, or is it just Masterton and Carterton mostly?
No, it's just Masterton.
The Masterton one. So how did you come to get involved and, you know, what's it all about?
Well, initially the Masterton District Council was holding some swimming lessons for the refugee women. And I was asked to go along, and I went along. And I just saw the complete, you know, the benefit of it all and just how exciting it all was. And being a swimmer myself, as you know, that was sort of hugely important to me that all newcomers to the area get to enjoy New Zealand waters, because, I mean, the seas and the rivers, I mean, it's there for us. So.
Yes.
So that's how it came about, and the council could not afford to keep it going. And that was through the Neighbourhood Watch and the Connecting Communities of the council. And so that's when I thought I would approach Rotary. I was the chair of the International Committee at the time, so I prepared a report to them to see if I could secure some funds. And then it went to the directors, and the pitch was really, if would directors pay half if I could get the other half from grants, etc. And so that's how it came about. But it could only really be held in Masterton in the pool, because they have that small pool out out the back where it can be closed off, and the women, through their cultural reasons, are required to be on their own without any males and you know, around. And so that was the only facility, really, that could do that. And then the council organised it with the Belgravia, the people who run the pool now, to do all the lessons, and children come along. Yeah. So everything, there was no, all the barriers to the women coming were removed. It was, and I can
tell us about. Tell us about that later. So how this was sort of a follow on from the actual refugee program that, that had started here with the people coming to live in Masterton. Is that right?
Yes, this is. So is a completely different program at all. It has nothing to do with the Red Cross as to where I first became involved in the refugees. That's how I sort of came to see the ladies swimming, because I went along, you know, with my family.
Can we just go back to that, to the program that, I mean, how long have they been in Masterton? Would it only be about a year that the...
They're still coming.
They're still coming. How many are here?
They're still coming. There's about, in the Armidan community, there's about 120 at the moment in Masterton. I think what... We started with the Red Cross way back, I think, when Rod Sutherland and Rob Irwin used to go and cut firewood and deliver firewood to the new refugees that arrived in Masterton.
Gosh, so
and
that was a
the
bit
Red
a while
Cross
ago.
Came, yeah, and then the Red Cross came and spoke to us one night, and they were talking about pathways to settlement. And it was something that kind of interested me, you know, where you could volunteer to help families settle in Masterton. And by that I mean, you know, settle with all the finances, the school, the uniforms, the community, the libraries.
Furnishing the houses and things,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And so we started by doing that. The Rotary Club gave some money to the Red Cross and also collected some items for furnishing the houses for our newcomers. And then Sandra Kyle and I decided that we'd like to be volunteers and help them. So you're assigned to a family. But that involved a two-day training. It was quite an extensive...
Yeah, I remember, because I was at that stage... Didn't join in with you two because I was going off overseas, I think.
I was
going to be away at the time that the program was here.
And then once you've been through your training, you kind of wait until you're allocated a family. And then you meet them as soon as they arrive in Masterton, you meet them. And then you help them. I remember, I think I still have the record for taking the refugees, the family, on their first shop.
Oh, really?
And you go to pack and save the first shop. And I remember it was a Rotary meeting, Tuesday night, and they wanted me to pick them up at 3:30. And I thought, am I going to make Rotary? I know that can be quite a long time. Well, I didn't make Rotary, and I got home at 7:30. I think I would have got home earlier if I'd gone to three. It was 3.5 to 4 hours.
Really?
Was the shopping. Yeah. Was the shopping. It was so funny. Yeah. So much fun.
If we just bring Sammy into this, the refugees are people who had been living in Sri Lanka, but they were refugees from Pakistan, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you perhaps give us a bit of a background to that and why coming to New Zealand? I mean, did you find that sort of thing difficult, or you had a good command of English, presumably, when you came?
But still, you know, when you leave everything back home and when you come to a new country where you know no one, you know, it's very difficult. So I can understand their situation, you know, but... traveling, especially traveling with children, you know, leaving everything, and you're finding difficulty in communicating with locals and stuff like that. Especially helps, like, you know, what Alison just, you know, explained us. It's very important. Even when we came, there was a lady in Greytown named Pat. She's like, you know, second mom. We still visit her and she comes visit us. It's wonderful help, you know, anyone can do, because we don't own a vehicle that time. We have to look for a place to live and everything. So any small help, you know, even, you know, saying hi to us, it feels like, wow, you know, what a wonderful, you know, people, what a wonderful people. That's why we never moved out of Wairapa, I think. Even though in the middle, you know, Jeffrey, after COVID, Jeffrey lost his job because the restaurant has to close down and all. But we were like thinking, no, this feels like home. Wairapa feels like home. So just, you know, live here, you know, because we love the atmosphere. We love the people here. So, yeah, it's important to have that kind of support from the community when you come out.
So you're not considered, you're not a refugee?
No.
No? So you are...
We came as a...
With a work visa.
Work visa, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the refugees come from Pakistan to Sri Lanka, and then that's where they get...
And they allocated to other countries like New Zealand and all. So in between, they stay in one country. Some go to Sri Lanka. So then, but from there, they will direct it to any other countries. Yeah, so it's like a stopover for them before they have been allocated to another country. Yeah.
Mm. So how did you just meet them through just the fact that you were from Sri Lanka yourself?
No, from Sri Lanka, because they were normally in Nigambo. That's a place in Sri Lanka. Normally, the refugees are located in Nigambo area. But I'm from Kandy, the middle part of Sri Lanka. So I'm not actually aware of this situation until I came to New Zealand and meet the refugees here. Yeah. So once I came here and someone came to me and talked to me in Sinhala language, and I didn't know him from any Sri Lankan, you know, friends or community from here. I'm like, hi, how are you? How do you know Sinhala, you know? Then he's like, no, we lived in Nigambo, this area, Sri Lanka. We love Sri Lanka. Oh, that's how I came to know. So lived in Sri Lanka for 5 years. Mm-hmm.
Yes, most of the family that I work with were in Sri Lanka for 5 years. They got stuck there with COVID.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that they may have an opportunity to prioritise where they would like to go and settle. But basically you're given, say, look, you're given
that's
New Zealand
going.
And that's where you're going.
Yeah.
And I think if you turned it down, you might be at the bottom of the list again. But they do try to get families and things like that together, because I know my family's got Rizwana. She's got her brother here, but one of her sisters is in the States. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can end up
anywhere,
but they're just so happy to be.
And most of them are from a certain... Muslim sect, aren't they? The ones in Masterton, is that right?
Yes. Yes, most of them are from the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, which when India and Pakistan sort of redefined their borders, this group of Muslims found themselves in the bottom part of Pakistan. And the Muslims within in Pakistan didn't actually accept that religion. They didn't accept it as a Muslim sect, and so they destroyed mosques. They wouldn't support businesses. It was very unsafe for them to remain, and therefore they got the refugee status to leave.
And so Sri Lanka took took them in, yeah, first of all.
Yeah, that's right.
Sri Lanka took quite a number in, and then Malaysia. So the ones now that are coming, the refugees that are coming into New Zealand now, are predominantly from Malaysia, because Sri Lanka has been emptied out, so to speak.
Yeah. That's how my new neighbour from our neighbourhood, so she came from Malaysia.
They
recently moved to Masterton. So I think they lived in Malaysia for 10 years or something like that before moving to...
That's a long time.
That's a very long time.
So they must find that what is available here must be a lot higher standard of living than they had to, because were they in refugee settlements or camps there?
Actually, they are very happy to be here. It's quite, you know, even for us, you know, even though I wasn't a refugee in my country, when I moved here, I felt so peaceful living here. So they are the same, you know. They love the, you know, that... they can do everything freely here, you know, whatever they wish to do. And the support comes from everywhere. So they are very happy from my perspective, because I know how we felt when we came here and when we got to know the community and all. So, so grateful to be here,
Because people come, I mean... ancestors of ours have come from other countries, you know, not just from England, Ireland and Scotland, but, you know, my great-grandparents came over from Lebanon back in the 1890s. So a similar sort of situation when they arrive.
When you think there is there's 70 million refugees, displaced refugees in the world, and only 1% get rehoused.
Really?
1%.
Really?
That's was part of the training. That's something, in fact, that's never left me. It's kind of incomprehensible, really.
Yeah.
So those people who come here, I think they understand just how lucky they are.
That's right. So with the family that you're responsible, well, you know, part of you, do you have a lot of contact with them, or was it in the initial stage that you sort of set them up, if you know
initially
got them to pack and save?
Got them everywhere,
but just going back to the pack and save, you know, being 4 hours there, I sometimes take about 4 hours to go around because I can never know where everything is, but what was their reaction to what was on the shelves?
Well, it wasn't, they weren't sort of overwhelmed by the extent of choice, but they were more sort of looking at prices, and they had a set amount that they could spend. And so they were always checking weights of things, checking prices of things, adding them up on the phone, things like that, and smelling some fruit, asking me about a lot of the fruit they weren't sure of. And at one point the little one, Sirat, she was so tired, she fell asleep, so we had to go and get a trolley and put a coat down. She was in the trolley after, and then of course we had to get some sweets for them, and then, you know, line up, and then, you know, even to go through the checkout, you know, just different things. It's amazing what, you know, one takes for granted in these places. And then we had to go from there up to the Reynolds Street. They all knew about the Indian store up there. So we had to go and sort that out too, get a couple of things from there. But the funniest thing was that I saw nobody that I knew in Pack and Save. But Bisharat, there was about three people there that, you know, hey, and they've just arrived. This is their first time. And, you know, so it's obviously a hangout joint or something, Pack and Save. Mustn't Pack and Save.
And they had jobs, so the...
No. No. Some have been successful in jobs. English has been an issue with other refugees. But going back to your question, I think the first couple of weeks was I was travelling, transporting them in the car, you know, taking them to schools, uniforms, you know, they had medicals to go through as well. And so that was pretty full on for 2 weeks, just about every day. And then it kind of slacked off a little bit until they got a car and a licence, and then so they were a lot more independent then. But the program is 6 months. The volunteers, that we're called volunteers, and they all know up in Mangere, when in the centre there, that you know, that they will be allocated volunteers, and this is what they can expect the volunteers to help them with, and what they can't, you know, don't push it. And then after six months, well, the first 3 months. After the 3 months, they're pretty independent, really. And then it's just up to you as to whether you want to, you know, maintain that friendship, of which both, you know, Sandra and I have done, because we've had the same family. And they're just part of my family now. I can't imagine not having them around.
No, that's lovely.
No, it's good.
And so did you find when you came to New Zealand, your husband's a chef, did you find the foods and things like that different here from home?
Yeah.
And no tea plantations.
Yeah.
Oh, and that wonderful hotel that I saw on TV the other night. Yeah. You've been there?
Yes.
Have you stayed there?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
So when we moved to New Zealand, because we lived in other countries too, so we are comparing everything together. So everything was different for us, especially we moved to Grey Town straightly from big cities.
Oh, yes.
We went to, then they said, this is the town. And we're like, the town is the town. So it was like that. But then, you know, slowly we arranged our lives. To this lifestyle, you know, okay, this is our home now. Now we'll settle down to whatever we'll build here. But then, you know, we are from tropical country, so we got abundance of vegetables and fruits, things like that.
And of course, you would have wonderful markets, wouldn't you?
Yeah, big.
You must miss that.
But we are lucky to have, you know, apples and oranges and things like that. You know. What, you know, New Zealand freshly produced, especially lamb and stuff. So, yeah, and the quality of the meat is totally different in New Zealand.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very delicious here. So, yeah.
Because you wouldn't have a lot of farm animals in Sri Lanka, have you?
What do you have,
sheep or?
No, we don't have them. Cows and, you know.
Cows, yeah.
Cows and chickens and stuff like that. But not lamb.
We don't
eat lamb that much. Yeah, so that's good. You know, nice. And also, you know, New Zealand vegetables, and we could plant anything here. We had a small backyard, and we started planting broccolis and broccolinis and cauliflowers and stuff like that. So it was really nice. We were learning to be a farmer. We were learning to do our own things. It was such a good experience, and we grew as a person, you know. Because in Sri Lanka we get help for everything to do this. We will have someone to come and do, but here we have to do everything by ourselves. So we as a family and as a person, we grew a lot when we came here, and we studied a lot. You know, we have a garden book, we have how to stitch book.
Oh gosh, oh, that's wonderful. And so your husband, well, at the Olive Branch, you have your own recipes and things, or do you do more like a fusion, you know?
We are keeping our Turkish originality. That's how we took the restaurant over. But in a couple of weeks, our new menu is coming out.
So it must come down.
We have some of the infusion because lots of people, they know we are from Sri Lanka, so they're asking for, can we have something Sri Lankan, you know, something different. So, yeah, we have something from Sri Lankan menu, also from Mediterranean, not only Turkish, but, you know, it's going a little wide too.
So what is the most favoured Sri Lankan menu would be what, meats or fish or
it's hard to say. We have fish is you know, we have a warm water in Sri Lanka,
because you're on an island,
so we have lots of seafood and so the fish curries are famous, also chicken, Sri Lankan chicken curry is quite famous.
And sounds like we should be doing a rotary trip.
Doesn't it? Looking that way.
We'll be happy to have you. Yeah, so that's important because New Zealanders are like to, you know, Kiwis are like to try new flavors. Mm. So it's important for us to have something, you know, from our country in the menu. So we can say, if you have anything from Sri Lanka, this is something, you can try this.
That sounds lovely. Well, I think we're going to talk more about this this swimming program, because I'd like to hear, and I know that you got funding and you did a really big job, Alison, with that to get it. And, of course, you skipped over the fact that you were a swimmer yourself, and you were a very, very good swimmer back in the day, because I remember, which is not showing my age, of course it is, but when you came to Rotary, I think it was the first time, you must have given you one of your This Is Me speeches, and you said your maiden name, and I thought, oh, I thought that was the Alison Hinton that always was a great swimmer at Wairarapa College. Yeah. So we're just going to have a little break. And I've got some music here by a guy called Rennie Pearson, who came here. He plays the flute and he does some really interesting things. So just it's called The Lark in the Morning. So I'll just make sure I get all switched on and ready to go. Thank you. And you've just been listening to Rennie Pearson and Lark in the Morning. You were listening to and watching Arrow FM and Wairarapa TV. And in my studio, we have been talking about the refugee program, which is on in Masterton. And now we're going to get a little bit more detail from Alison and also from Sami. Lovely to have you back, and I hope you've got the water there to keep you liquidated. About the swimming program, and Alison, you did a lot of work to get that funding. So it's over to you.
Well, yes, as I said earlier, that the Rotary agreed to support the program if I could get half the funds from the grants. So I looked into that and got all the information necessary to fill out the form. When I saw the form, I thought, oh, this is perfect. You know, it's perfect for us, because there were items like for the Rotary International, some of their needs were to meet peace, fighting disease, clean water and sanitation, and health for mothers and children, supporting education and the environment. So apart from, you know, providing the clean water and sanitation and growing local economies, everything else, just the program just slotted into the areas of concern. It was quite, I've got a few pages here that I filled out. Before I could even submit it, I had to go on a Zoom training. It wasn't an easy process.
No. So this is with Rotary International, was it?
This is with Rotary International and the grants. Well, what happens is, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that Rotary International gets certain funds every year as we...
Yeah, we put money into
put
it.
Put money
yes,
into
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
A percentage of that goes for grants. And so that then is allocated out to the different districts, and then it's up to a committee to determine which projects are worthy of the grants.
Mm-hmm. And this would go through to America, wouldn't it? Is it America?
Well, yes, I think
Because I think when we did the grants for, oh, I didn't do them, but I was on the committee, for the bus. The medical bus in Rarotonga.
Yes.
That was all through America, I think, yeah.
Yes. Mm. One has no idea of how many grants have been applied for, so you don't know how much that pot needs to be, spread out or whatever. But it was quite a process. It was a lengthy process, and the swimming program had already begun, and so we just had to carry on with it. I just had to say to myself, look, we'll be fine, we'll be successful, we're okay. And in the end we didn't get the total amount that we asked for, but we went far off, so we got that. And I have just submitted a report to say how successful the program was, etc. So basically the proposal was for it was for swimming sessions. There was 30 swimming sessions for up to 20 ladies at a time. So it was for an hour, and then there was also, so that was individual lessons taken by the Belgravia proper coaches, the swimming.
Yeah. Are they an organisation on their own? I haven't heard of them.
No. That,
was it just the name? Just a name?
No, I think, are they maybe Australian that run it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not too sure. And then, so we had the individual swimming lessons. We had CPR training. So the Red Cross came in and took them for CPR training. We had talks about the seas and the rivers and the different water safety that you're you know, that is required when you're swimming or around.
Which is so essential for a lot of visitors too.
Exactly. Yeah. And also with life jackets. So, you know, you could feel the, you know, and understand the security that a life jacket gives you if you're out on boats and things like that, that you know that you must wear a life jacket, that sort of thing. And while this was happening, the children were welcomed, both boys and girls, and they went with their own supervisor into the main pool and sometimes back into the other pool, and they had a whole hour of swimming and they just loved
it. Oh, isn't
it
wonderful? Yeah. Did your boy go too?
Yeah, he goes there. He is so looking forward to that. School holidays comes up, do we have swimming this time, Mom? I said, yes, and he's so happy. And
isn't it good?
Keeps him busy.
It's lovely. Yeah. How old is he now?
He's 8 years old.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
So they, the children have just gained so much confidence in the pool. They didn't have lessons as such, but they don't need to. They were just jumping
off
in,
swimming
under the, you know, picking things up from the the bottom and things like that. Look, it's really quite heartwarming to go. I've been to most sessions. I only got once the last one, but and sometimes I get in with them. And it's just, I don't know, it's incredibly heartwarming to see how much they're enjoyed. And, perhaps Sammy could tell us
about it.
What's it like?
What's it like?
Oh, it's for the ladies, us, it's important because, you know, if we can't bring our children who's at home, you know, especially school holidays, we can't do the swimming. Nobody going to come, you know, because, you know, we can't leave them. We have to, you know, we have to have something arranged for them. So it's very hard for them. So we can bring them with us. It's easy for us to be there while they are also enjoying their swimming session. And we can peacefully have our lessons going on. And it's so lovely, even the staffs of the swimming pool, Nikki and the other members of the Masterton swimming pool, they're so helpful and looking after the kids, even teaching my sister's little one, who is just turned 2 years old.
Oh, really?
Nikki got into water and she taught her the water safety, you know, a little bit, because she was so scared of water. Just like us, you know, we never learned to swim, even though we are from tropical country, all around us is sea.
This wasn't the thing to do.
Our parents were so scared to send us to water. Oh, that's enough. Even we went to beach, they were like, that's enough, stop there, don't go any further. We never learned swimming. But I always like to be in water, around water. I like to look at ocean, lake or a river, but when my boys and my husband can go do their swimming, I'm like, you know, I'm just staying there. But now, you know, I can't really swim. When I go home, I'm like, Jeffrey, you know, I did swim this long today. You know, I did this. Yeah. I was floating today. it brings such a joy.
A real joy. Yeah.
And the water safety, especially, it's very important when we have our kids and going to water. Wherever we travel in New Zealand, we find water.
That's right.
So it's very important to know the water safety.
And that they know also the rules and regulations and things
and
like that.
Especially CPR.
Yeah,
it's very important. So we are so grateful for that. Yeah, thank you so much for teaching us those, you know, those are life skills, you know, it's going to
I think it's something that's really interesting that has been focused on. And where did it come from originally? Who had the bright idea that it would be a really good idea, if you know what I mean? Was it through the Red Cross? Or I wonder where it came from, sort of. What a great idea, I think.
I'm not sure.
No.
I think it started with maybe it was the Red Cross trip to the beach. They went out to Riversdale and water, and then just sort of understanding how little confidence they did. And then I think the district Marsden Council had a part to play in that as well, but not for any length of time and not...
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Because most of the women have never been in water before. Mm. They've never had their heads underwater. Mm. And at the end of their first lesson, I would say 90% of them actually were floating with their head in the water and arms and legs going anywhere and everywhere. You know, it was just... I was taking videos of up and down and now there's a few of them that can swim a length. It's unbelievable how brave those women are, you know, to go.
Because some of them, they wouldn't be that young, would they?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
No.
They're in 30s, 40s.
Yes, and we've up to 50. And first time. First time in the water.
That is amazing.
It's amazing to see how joyful they are when they learn something new.
Yes.
You know, even simple as, you know, just floating or breathing under, you know, how to blow bubbles. It brings such a joy to them, you know. It's very, you know, heartwarming to see that. And once we learn something and we are trying to teach that to the other one who's coming new or, you know, or needs some more support, and it's giving us such a good bonding, you know.
Yes, yeah.
So it grows apart from the swimming pool.
Because you're doing something together.
Now we are like planning, let's go for coffee together, let's go for walking together, do some exercise together.
That's lovely.
Things like that. Yeah. It's another sisterhood is forming there.
Yeah.
So it's very important for the ladies who's coming there to have some, you know, friends and a community circle apart from their family.
Yeah.
It's a support system, actually.
And also any other ones who are coming in future can then join.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can teach them what the swimming is, you know, so it doesn't have to be a specific program, you know.
That's great.
Yes, unfortunately, it's difficult for them to go into the public pool, into the main pool, and that's a huge barrier, really.
Mm.
But it is lovely to see the women together and out on their own, you know.
Mm.
It's good. It's good. You can see why I...
Yeah.
Couldn't turn it down.
That's true. Yeah. And so you had an email, was it from...
I do.
Was it from the council? Would you like to tell us about that?
It was from the council, and it was a little bit of a report and feedback. Shall I read it?
Yes, do. Yeah.
Okay, so over 30 women and 50 children have attended the swim and water safety sessions to date. Most have never been in the water or know how to swim, so it's their first experience. Participants have been educated on CPR, life jacket training, floating, swimming through the Belgravia leisure, skill level. That's the certificate, the level of swimming that they have achieved. Beach surf life saving and sea tides and currents. And finally, hygiene, with some of the women having changed their sanitary use. To fit in, knowing that they can do this. Their faces said it all. Their enjoyment and pleasure in gaining confidence and friendships was very evident and a joy to spectate. It really was. Through this funding, an opportunity and request were received from all the Masterton former refugee men. No show without punch. Hearing how much the women were enjoying and gaining confidence in the water and learning to swim along with CPR training was directly responsible for the men to ask for the same support and experiences. Many friendships have been created, not only with the women, but with the children as well, as you said. Yeah. All barriers that existed for the women not to attend were addressed. For example, transport, childcare, special modest swimwear they were provided with, other equipment like goggles and caps, hygiene issues like not thinking it was possible to swim while menstruating, and language as an interpreter was present, And sometimes, too, the women don't think that they can swim when they're pregnant. We were just having a talk about this before.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
The funds also allowed us to explain to all women of different ethnicities, not just to former refugees. In total, 8 different nationalities participated in this program to date. Indonesia, Jordan, USA, Uganda, Pakistan, India, Philippines and Sri Lanka.
Is that in Masterton?
Mm.
Gosh.
Many testimonials have been received from the participants, and I have seen those, and they're like, oh, thank you for letting me fulfil my dreams. Mm-hmm. I never thought I could do this. Water, is it? All of things like that. Yeah. And all ages of women, from 55 years of age down to under 2 year olds, have benefited from this program, which wouldn't have been possible without the funds. So thank you to Rotary Club of South Masterton, Masterton South, and Rotary International. What a difference this has made to our most vulnerable new residents to Masterton. So that really sums
that
it
is
up.
Really, that is awesome. Really so. Mm. And, I mean, we've got a lot to thank for you to doing all that, really.
Thank you.
Amazing, Alison. But, I mean, it's so fulfilling, isn't it, when you can see the results and know that it will be ongoing and not just a flash in the pan or a flash in the water, because you have now sort of got a community, a real sort of
bond,
real bond, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, we call each other sisters.
Yes.
Yeah, not my sister, and we say the name Sister Christy, Sister Maya. Oh, then it's wonderful, really. Actually, I need to especially thank Alison, Masterton District Council, and Rotary District Grand, Kathy Cameron, Arthi, who's our translator and doing lots of work. Kathy's the one who's picking us up, who, you know, we can't drive. So some of us can't drive. So she comes and picks up and drops up Kathy. And Nikki and her staff from the swimming pool. We're so thankful. Thank you so much from all the ladies. May you get good reward for what you're doing. We wish you all good health and wealth and lots of happiness. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Nice. That's lovely.
All we need now is for you to buy a new house with a swimming pool.
There you go. That's my son's dream.
And then there'll be a party at your place.
Yeah, a party, and they'll all be able to go and swim there.
And everybody will be there swimming. Yeah. Oh. But, you know, there's an opportunity now.
Yeah. You opened a door of opportunities for us. Yeah, to, you know.
Well, that's what the whole idea of coming to a new country is about, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to do that.
Yeah. I always tell them, sisters, if you swim like this, we're going to soon go to Olympic. And we all laugh.
There is a film, Netflix film about that.
Yeah.
About, I think they came from Jordan, I think.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. True story.
Yeah.
Ended up at the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You never know. No, well, I think this has been wonderful, and it's so good to hear your story and know that this is, you know, because people sort of probably have heard that there's refugee families coming to Masterton, and we don't know where they are or what they're doing or what's going on with them. And I think also it's been great with the International Committee getting involved in that. Originally with you and Sandra and setting up the houses as well, which would have been a big mission to start with too.
Yes, because it's not the easiest thing to not promote, but to let everyone know what's going on, because it's because of the cultural restrictions and differences.
Yeah.
It's there's restrictions and photos and things like that. So it's not the easiest thing to, spout forth.
Yeah, true. Anyway, we're almost at the end of our time. I think the clock up there. Oh, yes, I think we can almost wind this up, and what they say, we'll have a wrap of the program. And so, you have been listening to and you've been watching Rotary Matters, and our program is on the first Friday of every month. The other Rotary clubs, the Carterton Club and South Wairarapa, we share that with them. So I think I'll be on next in August. And this program is also repeated on the first Saturday of the month. So my warm thanks to both you, Alison, and Sammy. I'm so pleased that you know, you talked about coming and telling us all about it, and it's been lovely to welcome you, and hope we can have a lot more time together some stage too, Sammy, and it's really, really nice. So we can wrap, have a wrap of it. And it's film talk, isn't it?
Yes.
Film talk. So Alison was in a film with me, so we still don't know what's happened to it, but you never know. Anyway, so I'm Marilyn Buzaid, and I'm just saying have a good weekend. We've had a bit of rain today, and we might get a bit of rain at the weekend, but it's really nice to have some warm weather. And I'm sure you'd be appreciating the warm weather, Sammy, and not the cold frosts in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I like winter.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Even
well,
I'm from tropical country.
Oh, really? No, I can't quite go on that with me. No, summer any time for me.
That's my husband.
Anyway, lovely to talk to both of you. And
thank you so much for having us.
We'll just switch everything off.